Before I even begin, maybe Kel, you want to say a few words and hi to the congregation and all that. I don't know what you have there, but for you to show up from India and not say a word wouldn't be right.
Just dragging my butt from jet lag. But I think the ministry is the healthiest in India it's ever been, because I'm not running it. But God has opened amazing doors. I was thinking this beautiful song that Laura Lee was leading, Here is Our God, and I'm thinking of all the, you know, 1.3 billion Indians. You know, this is the God we've been waiting for, eh? And they're looking at 330 million gods for thousands of years. And this, Jesus, is the God we're waiting for. I'm kind of the daddy, the father of a bunch of Timothys in India. And God has opened Nepal as well. I just want to briefly tell you the story of Pastor David. Pastor David, I've known him for many years, and he's one of my Timothys, and I'm going to be working with him. But he was born in a family of five brothers. His father was a totally Buddhist village he came from. His father was the top fortune teller, astrologist, shaman of the village. He was the top spiritual guy. Now, they didn't have any money, so David was thrown out of the house or let go of the house. And he lived on the streets from about 12 years old in Kathmandu, begging. And he, you know, to escape the pain inside of him, he started drinking, and he got very, very sick to the point where he was going to die. And he went to his father, and they got all of the top spiritual leaders, because this guy knew them all. They all prayed for him, and nothing worked. They took him to the top temple, which is the monkey temple in Kathmandu. Nothing worked. And so he had resigned just to die. And he was just, you know, walking in the Tamil area in Kathmandu, and three young American missionaries came, and they came and spoke to him. And they said to him, "Do you have peace inside?" And he says, "No, I don't." And they said, "We'd like to meet you in a couple of days." And so they set a time, and he came. And anyways, they led him to Jesus Christ. By the way, it was a Vineyard church, and the guy who baptized David is a very famous Vineyard guy, but I don't remember famous guys, so don't ask me about that. But he got peace, and he didn't die. And he's the head over hundreds and hundreds of churches, and God has opened a door for our ministry and for Lori and I to kind of be a father and mother to this fellow. Really nice guy, him and his wife, and to start training him to reach Nepal for Christ. Nepal, I have read, has the fastest growing church in the world. And what has happened there when the earthquake came down, and I think God allowed that, is the whole world prayed for Nepal, right? And, you know, gosh, God answers prayer. Same thing in the Odisha Kandamel. We're planning to reach that area. Again, the worst persecution on the face of the earth, maybe not the face of the earth, but in India's history, 100,000 Christians were displaced, all of their houses, all of their churches, all of the big ministries, everything was destroyed. And they were scattered. There were 50,000 Christians in camps. The whole world again prayed. And guess what? God is listening and God is answering. And so we're strategically, I believe, placed to work with strategic leaders there. So it is such a huge, incredible privilege. Remember, do any of you remember that diorama? We had it here, actually. I built it for my wife. It was my wife needs to see something physically, you know, when she prays. And it was like dolls. And each part of the ministry, there was many, many parts to the ministry. And I don't have that anymore, but we have pictures of it. And I went and looked at it when I came home from India. And everything is changing in our ministry. And God is, like, basically every area that we prayed over for over 16 years are opening up. Like, it's opening up. And I don't want to talk very long here because Terry is going to preach. But I'd really appreciate, why are we here? I felt in November when I came, I was here for way too short a time, and God opened some very significant doors, and I felt I should come back. And Lori says, no, we won't go back. We won't come back to 2017. And anyways, God really spoke through us just about, you know, 2 months ago that we should come back now. And some of it is because of Lori's health. She has serious sinus issues. She was in a lot of pain when we were flying from Tokyo to Vancouver. And she just didn't want to get the medical stuff done in India. The other thing is we've got two leadership training things that we want to set up. Lori has already, while I was gone in November, she started writing, and she's written 3 books. And she started another book. They're all training manuals done in simple English for the leaders that we want to train. And this year, Lori has started another book. She's about 100 pages into it, and it'll be training stuff for the leaders over there. And so this year, our focus is to put that in order so that we can start training in Nepal and in India. So for probably 16 years, 17 years, I have really not done any itinerary. So very little, okay? You could probably count it on one hand or maybe 2 hands. I'm not sure where I promoted the ministry. And so the fact that we're still going and we still got money in the bank is a huge miracle. I mean, it's so huge, it just defies your brain. But I really feel it's time for me to be here to strengthen Grace Life Ministries. And we're praying perhaps maybe training some young people who really have a solid call from God. I'm looking for gold, okay? The gold is people that I can train and perhaps get involved with what we do in India. And I found gold, like, unbelievable. Like it makes me choke, you know. I'm serious. Like, these guys are incredible. And we trust them. I'm their dad. They're my kids, okay? And it's very, very beautiful. And it would never have happened if we hadn't been there for 4 years. You can't. Things like that, you don't just pick somebody up. You have to know them. And so, anyways, thanks, Terry, for letting me share. I appreciate that.
Stay up here, Terry, I'm just getting prophetic words for you and for the ministry.
Pray for open doors. It's for us to, you know, I'm going to start traveling and stuff and into the States and across Canada. So
now,
word, Cal. Sometimes you need to rest.
So, there, there.
Trying to
that word too, right? There, just as Cal was talking, some of you may sense there's a spirit, the spirit of anointing of the Holy Spirit of prophecy has come here for Kel, for the ministry, for Lori, right now. And if you're sensing that, if you felt that, well, he was talking. Come on up here and join me, will you, right now? And but I feel, Kel, that what the Lord is saying is this is a new season, a new anointing, a new strengthening is coming from the Lord, not only for India, but there's something going on worldwide that is impartation from the Lord. And this is a time where the Holy Spirit is coming on his church, and he is strengthening, and he says, I will raise up the weak ones. I'm going to raise up the weak ones. I'm going to cause the ones that seem to have been mired for so long in the clay and the weak ones in my church to be strengthened and to rise up, to stand up, and to take their place because they haven't been able to do it before. And even as there's a persecution that's going on worldwide, I'm raising up the standard, says the Lord. I will not allow the enemy to overtake the church. The church will overtake the enemy. And in India, he says, there is a wind from my spirit breathing. I see like a picture of a whirlwind. And what's happening with the whirlwind in the spirit, so to speak, it's like the idols are being knocked down. The gods are going, as the wind blows like a hurricane and a tornado, I see just temples falling, getting knocked down, knocked down, knocked down. And the spiritual sources and resources that people have depended on for so long, at least they thought they depended on them, are getting knocked flat. And God says, I'm doing that, and to cause them to cry out to me right now. And there is going to be coming up from within their spirits and in their hearts a deep cry from, especially from the Hindu people, a deeper cry than there has been before, that the time is coming when my church will stand. And I'm going to cause them to stand. I'm going to cause them to stand. And I feel like for you and Lori, even as you're already saying, you're sensing that there's like a new step in the ministry. You're going to step over like a threshold into a new phase in the way God's going to use you because of what the Lord is doing at this time right now. You're sensing it already, and he's beginning to do it, and so you're going to take the new place that the Lord has in mind for you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I started sensing a few weeks ago there's something going on in the spirit for the church just like this, and God's just dropping this again and again. And this is for you too today, everybody. It's that those that are weak in the faith, you may have been mired down, you might have struggled for a long time, you might have been bogged, and what the Lord's going to do is put strength in your legs and your feet, make you stand up in Jesus' name. Amen. You got something? Oh, you're standing up. All right. Well, praise God. Let's stand up. You know, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, it's because we've been mired so long, so many, and that's one of the grieving things I've had as a pastor and a minister over the years. It seems like, you know, you just bring the word to life again and again. And but the word from God, I believe, for the church here and for you as believers is stand up. You know, stand up in Jesus. Stand up in what he's given you. Watch what God will do. Watch what God will do. It will be amazing. It will be amazing. You know, just when Bill was sharing here, something's been going on with me personally in the last while was I've been asking the Lord and praying a lot about miracles. And the thing with the gift of miracles in the scripture, you know, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, it comes to miracles and it says the working of miracles. And the word miracles is power. Well, it's, you know, if you're baptized in the Spirit, you have power. You know, you shall receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But the question is, how do we apply this? How do we work this out and bring it forth? And one of the ways by the gifts of the Spirit is the working of the miracles, working it. And you notice every time there's a miracle in the scripture, they did something. You know, like even with Elisha and Elijah, the axe head gets lost in the water. What's he do? He throws a stick out in the water and the axe head floats. Like, what is that? Well, he's working it, you know, and weird things like that. And it was interesting because when Bill came up and I went to lay hands on his feet last week, all of a sudden the Spirit of God said to me, very clear, just popped right into me, totally unexpected. I was totally not focused there. He said, work the miracle. It just came like that, work the miracle. And I just, with believing confession, spoke to his feet, the power of God come into his feet, straighten them out, you know, like that. And it's him, it's God, it's doing this. And thank you, Jesus. And this is something for us all. You can go for it. You don't have to stay stuck. You can go for it. And the Lord, you know, it's like what you believe for and pursue, you can receive in the Lord. Now, before we have communion, I'm going to talk about, I think it's a fantastic scripture in Hebrews. And this has to do with us being a priesthood, applying the blood of Jesus, our prayer and our praise. We could go into more to do with being kings as well. But here's what it says. Therefore, holy brothers who share a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in God's house. Now, I won't go continue because Hebrews talks a lot about Jesus being the true high priest, the earthly priesthood, the tabernacle, the sacrifices that were offered on earth under Moses and later in Jerusalem in the temple were all pictures of the true tabernacle, the true sacrifice, which is Jesus, the true high priest, which is Jesus, bringing his own blood to the heavenly places so that we might receive salvation and cleansing. And so he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now what's interesting is it's added our confession. It's not a side thing to saying, well, he's the one we confess, and you don't confess these other guys. That's not what it gets at. The word confession here means to say the same thing. That's what literally the word means. And we're told in 1 Peter 2:5 and in 2:9 and Revelation 5:10 that we too are a priesthood. We're called a royal priesthood. We are both kingly and priestly office in Christ. Now, you know, you have a spiritual life and you have a natural life. And this is the spiritual life. And as we're filled with the Spirit and walk in these things, this spiritual life, as Jesus said, is to overflow and possess and work through the natural life, right? And part of this is to be the royal priesthood, priests unto God, it says in Revelation 5:10. So like in the Old Testament times, they had a high priest and then a priesthood who were ministering in the temple who would do the things that the high priest is doing and take the blood that was sacrificed at the altar. They would sprinkle the blood. They would go inside. They would offer prayer and praise unto God. They would bring prayer and intercession. And even if some of the people of Israel would come, they would come and they would confess their sin or they would come with a thank offering or they would come with a burnt offering or whatever. They'd lay hands on that lamb and they'd declare their sins be on the lamb, the sin would be sacrificed, the lamb be sacrificed. You know, this is a sort of process that was going on all the time and the priesthood was quite involved with it. And so we are a priesthood in the Spirit, Jesus Christ being our high priest. And that is the most amazing thing. And secondly, we participate in the priesthood by our confession, agreeing with what the high priest Jesus does. That's what that scripture is about. And it says in 1 Peter 2, say, start of verse 4, as you come to him, Jesus, the living stone rejected in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, be like living stones, be built up into his spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's amazing that we are being built by God. It's his work. He makes us a spiritual priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice in Christ Jesus. And we express, we confess, we say what he has done. We agree with him in our confession. And that's what brings what Jesus did into reality in our life and in the life of others and in the world. And that's something all of us can do. It's something when we come to communion, you can recognize this is the reality of the body and blood of Christ. I participate in it. I'm not a passive recipient. I'm an active recipient because I'm a royal priesthood. I can actively be praying and such things as that. So what do I express that God has done? Well, and what do I do by confession? What is this thing about confession? Well, think about it for a minute. The blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Christ, was accomplished. It was prepared, declared, accomplished, and ready. Right from the foundation of the world, God had it all lined up. And it, you know, he died for your sins before you were saved, before you were born. Isn't that right? But how did it come to pass? When you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, believed in your heart, God raised him from the dead. You're saved. What does that mean? You're agreeing. You're confessing. You're saying the same thing as he says. Isn't that right? The blood of Jesus was offered up for my sin. And then when someone says, thank you, Lord, for dying for my sin, thank you for the blood of Jesus over my sin, you will know you are forgiven. The blood of Jesus cleanses us and forgives us from all sin. You're confessing, you're agreeing with the Lord and what he did, and you're taking it for yourself, so you're applying the blood of Jesus to yourself. And it becomes a reality by your confession. You know, there's no such thing as a passive Christian. You know, a lot of us, people want to sit, we absorb, but we're not putting out, you know. And what has to happen is we got to get to a place where I'm willing to say it and pray it out and mean it. We confess our sin. So, for example, John says in, let me just go here, 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. I should have got the scriptures up there. I didn't think of that earlier this morning. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this. If we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, who's he? Jesus, the high priest. We're agreeing with him. He's faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I confess it and I'm agreeing with what his blood did. Step number one, it's the way you became a Christian. That's also the way you get clean, and that's the way you stay clean, and that's the way you stay forgiven. It's by the blood. And that's why we come with communion. We're declaring, we're receiving, we're participating in that holy meal that Jesus instituted, and we're confessing the blood of Jesus over ourselves. And but not only that, he is the one who cleanses. It says in 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive my sin. Amen. That means the record of my guilt is wrong. If you have received Christ today, your record of your guilt is gone. But I ask the question, how many of you feel today you're unclean? You feel today you're heavy and dark. You're dragging something around with you that's not right. That inside you're feeling, you know, there's just something not right in me. I'm tormented and troubled. Well, the blood of Jesus also was shed for cleansing. Not just forgiveness, which is to blot out the record of wrongs. Cleansing, which is to purify me. So in the Old Testament, you know, the high priest offered the sacrifice of the lamb for the nation once a year and took it into the most holy place, into the very presence of God, so that the sins of the nation would be forgiven. But also they had sacrificed so that the blood was taken by the priests and they would anoint them with blood on their ear, on their big toe, and they'd sprinkle all the furniture in the tabernacle with the blood. The blood, you see, was the cleansing agent. The blood has life, the Bible said. That's why blood was used as an offering, because the life is in the blood. The blood of Jesus has the life that the whole world needs. And you're a royal priesthood and you agree with the Lord. Not only do you take the blood of Jesus in your confession and say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sin. And if you sin, you can thank him again and begin to receive it. You stop that sin and you begin to receive it. But you can begin to apply the blood for cleansing. Oh, Lord, I need a cleansing in my heart. Come, blood of Jesus, begin to cleanse my emotions. Cleanse that natural self until bubbling up inside of you, that life of God becomes so much that, I'll tell you what, He can wash away every dirty, filthy thing that you battle and struggle with inside. He's able to make you more than a conqueror. The blood of Jesus was given so that you would be a victor and a conqueror and pure and clean believer. This is what God says He's raising up right now. He wants to raise it up in you and me. He wants to have us standing on our feet without shame. Anybody can look into the deepest things of your life and you got no shame because you said, I've been purified by the blood of Jesus. This trouble that was there is no more. The devil's got no claim. He's got no foothold to climb up on me. You see, he searches around like a roaring lion looking who he can devour. He's looking for some foothold. Who knows what it is? You know, you got those filthy, tempting thoughts. You got that junk going on. You got the bitterness and the unforgiveness. You've never forgiven somebody else or whatever. And he finds that. I'll tell you what. He can find that and climb up on you. And then he sits on top and just starts tormenting the daylights out of you. You haven't forgiven that person. He's just poking and bugging. And everything they do bugs you. You don't have the love of God flowing because he's climbed up on that. But you get the blood of Jesus. Oh, the precious blood. You know, we say, oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the cleansing blood comes and flows. So when you're coming this morning for communion, deliberately agree with Jesus and begin to confess. You can have that conquering victory. Start this morning and maintain it because the devil will try to knock you down. You know, he comes along and just suggests and speaks and pokes and he hits your emotions and he hits your thinking. Whack, 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 whack. That's how he works. And you say, no, just like Bill did. No, thank you, God, I'm healed. I just receive it. I believe in it. You know, I believe in it. He's just staying there. I'm going to stay there with my confession. I believe it. And he received it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here is something that's amazing as well. Let me just read another scripture on purification. Because this is great stuff. There's just lots and lots of purification. Like, for example, in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And in chapter 10, he says that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. Wow. And so what he says is, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now you have confidence to come to God. This is chapter 10, verse 20. By that new and living way that's been opened through the curtain, that is Christ's flesh. And since we have this great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with our heart, true heart, in full assurance of faith. He wants to bring that to you, see? All by the blood. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water, and let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We're confessing our hope. We're agreeing with Jesus, the high priest. And as we confess and agree with what he's done and apply it, like the priesthood did under the high priest, these things come to pass in your life. They will. I remember when I was a new believer, got to know Karen's family, and initially I was going to their house because her dad was holding Bible study there, and then immediately I became interested in Karen. What I found in his prayers was he was always confessing the blood of Jesus. It was a new thing to me. I was a new Christian, but I thought, what is this? Thank you for the blood of Jesus. He's always saying, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my home and my property and over my ministry, you know. And he was always praying like that, the blood of Jesus. And as I started to learn about it, and he actually wrote a little book on the blood of Jesus finally. And the blood of Jesus. And I learned to begin doing that. Oh, the blood of Jesus sets free and sanctifies and purifies. But I want to go on to one other thing that's quite amazing in John chapter 20. And if you're following along with me in your Bibles, here you go. This is after Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples. And then he says to them, sometimes we don't notice this, but he says in verse 22, when he'd said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they're forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it's withheld." You know, we kind of bypass that and we go, "Well, what does that mean? If you forgive?" He's not talking about just personal, of course. But you know what? Before Jesus came, I could forgive somebody's sins if they sinned against me. I could forgive them, right? But he's getting at something more than that. He's getting at the fact that the Lamb of God, the blood of the Son of God, was shed before the foundation of the world, and we are participating in the priesthood. Paul has an interesting phrase. It says that the prayers of, say, a believing husband can sanctify the unbelieving wife, and vice versa. The prayers of a believing wife can sanctify or set apart, purify an unbelieving husband. And you go, well, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that they're getting saved. What it means is their sins are being washed. They're being washed and they're being set aside for God by your prayer, by pleading the blood of Jesus again and again. I've seen that work so many times as we begin to declare the blood of Jesus over someone who doesn't know the Lord. Why? I'm saying, Lord, wash them, clean them, wash them, clean them, get them saved. And it might seem like a strange thing, but, you know, Paul says elsewhere that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. And he says, be you reconciled to God. You take that apart. What it means is God was in Christ. He reconciled the whole world to himself. As far as God's concerned, the sins of the whole world are they're covered right now. You know, Jesus' blood paid for them all. All of them are done. All of them are covered right now. But not everyone knows him. And Paul says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, even though that's been covered, these people are enemies. They're not reconciled. It hasn't been applied to their life. They don't receive the grace and benefit of it. But what happens if I take my priestly role, just like they did in the Old Testament, and begin to sprinkle the blood for those that are not priests, you know? And so I can, by intercession, do these amazing things to begin to pray over people. Not that they're not saved. You're praying for them to get saved. But you know what? We're saying, God, forgive them. Do you know, like Stephen, when he was being martyred? The apostle Stephen was being stoned to death, the first martyr in the New Testament. What's he say? Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. Well, how could he say that? He could say it because of what Jesus said to him. He who sins forgive are forgiven. Lord, forgive them. Think about it. We've got gross immorality and sin and all kinds of stuff going on in our nation. But we have a ministry as priests of the Lord where we can say, oh, God, spare our nation. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, forgive our nation. We confess the nation has sinned. We confess our family has sinned. We've even applied that in church where there's been gross sin that has taken place in church and we gather and we begin to pray over it. And, oh, Lord, cleanse your church. Forgive. Because if we don't do it, I'll tell you what, the enemy will get an inroad into the congregation and into a church, and he will come in and just create havoc, and then the congregation doesn't know what's going on. Why has it happened this way? What happened? You've got to have the cleansing of the blood of Jesus in your home and your family and your congregation and church and our nation and our city. I pray this regular. Okay, I'm going to move on from that, except to say, if something hooked you while I'm talking about it, and the Holy Spirit's alerted you to something, apply it when we come to communion, okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a good place to say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Yes, God. Wow. Okay, what about number two, role of a priest under Jesus the high priest? Intercession. Now, the high priest Jesus lives to make intercession for us. This is Hebrews 7. Let's go there right now. And, oh, man. I get excited, you can tell. I don't know. I talk, you know. Oh, Jesus, I could just preach to myself and be happy. You know why you can preach to yourself? Because you're confessing all this stuff in the Scripture out loud, and it just works, you know. Now, Jesus guarantees a better covenant, chapter 7, verse 23. It says, I hope I got the right ones here. Yeah. The former priests, in other words, the Old Testament priests, were many in number and were prevented by death from continuing in their office. But he, that's Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently and continues forever. Get this. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those that draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Praise the Lord. That Jesus is on our side. You know, you're not trying to talk him into blessing you. God wants to do good things. The Lord wants to pour out his love. He wants to pour out his miracles and healing. You're not trying to convince him. You're not changing his mind. You're lining up with it. We're lining up our heart to agree with his heart. And so if he's ever living to make intercession, and I come into line as a priest under the high priest and begin to participate in his intercession, that's when stuff starts to happen. You know, I can come outside of that with my own requests, and it can let me request be made known to God. And as I do that, the promise is the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, it's not a promise to answer with what you ask necessarily. But if you are lining up as a priest and believer of Jesus Christ with a high priest, if you get his heart and mind and you get that from the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit reveals things. The Holy Spirit starts to move in things. Like the things that I was sharing, you know, just a minute ago with Kel there. I've gotten that word is starting to percolate. There was more to it for India and all that, but that word about God saying, now believers standing on your feet, you know what? That is the now word of the Holy Spirit. I want to say this to you. You will hear that coming forth from other prophetic voices. You will hear that coming forth probably within 2 years in books and on interview TVs and shows. Right now, it's a fresh voice in the Spirit, but it's here. It's here. God's breathing this. It's here. So what do? We line up with the heart of God. Yes, Lord, I agree. Now I'm interceding for the church. I'm interceding for all the people in Vineyard. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, I thank you that your purpose is that we stand on our feet. Right now, there is an anointing of the Holy Spirit that we gather ourselves, that we are able to stand up in the name of Jesus, that we're able to walk in mature manhood, that this is the role of the fivefold ministry, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, this is what your plan is, and now in the earth, this is what's coming. And I say, yes, Lord, bring it forth right now in the name of Jesus. And you're starting to agree with the Lord. You can feel the Spirit move on it. It's amazing. Do you remember last, yeah, you got something? Yeah.
You guys were singing.
Yeah.
I was on Quora answering a question on exactly this topic.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. The question was,
well, you don't need to do that. We do that after. Okay. But you remember last week, during the worship, I had a couple of scriptures, one to start, one to end, and it lined up with Gloria's message. Remember that? And it was about this. I wasn't premeditating any of it. She wasn't, you know, informing me of what she's going to preach. I had no idea what she was going to preach or anything. But what happened? As we're worshiping, we're tuning into the heart of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, you can tell when the Spirit of God starts to speak because he always is bringing it forth scripturally. He brings it forth in alignment with the Word of God. You know, it's not some loony thing out, whatever, right? And that's what starts to happen. And then as a high priest, you can pray that way. And it's pretty amazing. Now, in Isaiah 59, verse 6, listen to this. It says that God wondered that there was no man to intercede. That is, stand in the gap. Israel, her walls were down because of sin and all that, and he wants someone to stand in the gap and intercede. And God said, he wondered there was nobody that would stand in the gap. And then he says his own arm brought salvation. In other words, God's heart was, we need intercession. How is this going to happen? And his own arm is going to do it. God is going to do it. Now, you go to chapter 10 in Hebrews, verse 19 to 23. We read how we are moved by the Spirit and participate with the high priest Jesus in the intercession. In other words, we find out how he enables us as priests and believers. And I read this before. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, we can not just pray in the natural, but we pray in the spiritual, where we have direct access to the Father God. And by this new and living way, that is the curtain through his flesh, and since we give a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with our heart in full assurance of faith, our heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water, and hold fast our confession. Wow. So I am entering into the holy place with the Lord with or through or in Jesus. By the revelation of the Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, by alignment with that, we begin to pray. And I start to bring those prayers with Jesus into the holy place of God. And they're here. This is the kind of intercession that we have. He wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to bless. Now, we're told that it's the Holy Spirit that's working at this. For example, in Romans chapter 8. And in Romans 8, 26, it is saying this about this intercession. The Spirit helps us in our weakness because we do not know how to pray as we ought to. But the Spirit himself intercedes with groanings too deep for words and searches the heart and knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for his purpose, for those that are called according to his purpose. So the Spirit of God is working to align us as a priesthood in intercession, and that's the priests interceded. They didn't just apply blood for forgiveness, they also had a work of intercession. And the Spirit of God is doing it, and through the blood of Jesus taking it right into the Father's presence. And then finally, the Word of God in that intercession is we can take that Word and confess His Word before the high priest. And, I'll tell you what, He is able to graciously give us all things, whatsoever we need. 1 John 5:14 says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us in what we ask, we know that we will receive from Him. Hallelujah. That's a pretty good promise. Thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You got a prayer that you're laboring under? Get it lined up with God. Get the blood of Jesus. Receive it. Take your place as a priesthood, a royal priesthood. Begin to pray in alignment with Him. Thank you, Jesus. And the third ministry that a priest has is praise. Yeah, that's why we praise and we worship. Hebrews 13:15 says, I got a read thing there, so there's more than one verse. Just a sec. Oh, wow, it's all in this passage, gee. For the bodies of animals whose blood was brought into the holy place by the high priest as sacrifice are burned outside the camp. Now, here we go. Here's the purification again. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. It's all over the place. To be pure before the Lord, to be pure person, it's everywhere. Therefore, he says, let's go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here on earth we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that's to come. Now here it is. Here's the praise part. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruits of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Through him, through Jesus Christ, through being a priesthood, through our confession of Jesus, our great high priest, through agreement with him, he says, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. offering us, praising God this morning is like the sacrifice offered by priests. Did you know that? You're a royal priesthood. When you praise God this morning, you're taking your ministry before the Lord. Hallelujah. I say, yes, Jesus, I want to do that. Hallelujah. Did you know, I had offered off and on through the years to contend with this as a pastor. You know, because I would raise hands. Thank you, Jesus. I would say, people, raise your hands up to the Lord. Hallelujah. And some people go, oh, don't tell me to raise my hand. Listen, I got to say this. See, King David said, the lifting up of holy hands is as incense offered to the Lord. The priests offered incense in the tabernacle to the Lord as part of their worship. And so, not only is my praise part of my ministry, my lifting hands. When God sees me lifting hands to Him, He says it's like the incense being burned in the holy place. It's coming up out of my spirit. Jesus in me, the great high priest, coming up out of the Holy Spirit, comes up and I begin to offer it. And, oh, I am offering incense to the Lord. Do you believe that? Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. I want every church, God wants every church to be a hand-lifting church because they are offering the lifting up of their hands to Him. And a praising church because it is the ministry of the priest. And the shouting church because it's like the holy shout. Blessed are the people who know that holy shout. They shall walk in the light of the Lord is the promise of God. Hallelujah. What a thing. This is just so amazing. So amazing. And so God, it says in Psalm 22:3, inhabits the praises of His people. So you wonder, why sometimes when we have church here and we get worshiping God and it goes on for a while, why does the atmosphere change? You guys know that, right? Who has said, I felt the atmosphere change at sometime when you're worshiping God? Okay, just about everybody. And if you haven't, just hunger for God, you will. Why do you feel that? Because God inhabits the praises of His people. Now listen, if I'm born again, He lives in here, the Holy Spirit's in here. But when we start praising God together, where the vibrations and sound of our voice go through this building and even outside the building, as we're praising Him and worshiping Him, God inhabits. He comes and dwells in the praises of His people. The very atmosphere becomes charged with His presence. People walking by, if they encounter that atmosphere, we've had this many times. Even over at the Foursquare Church, we had people come into the church because they're walking down the sidewalk and they felt the presence of God and they couldn't resist. They had to turn in and come into the building. It's true. And the presence of God inhabits the praises. Inhabits the praises. And faith starts to change. All those thoughts that are troubling you when you come in, when the presence of God starts to fill the atmosphere, the thoughts kind of just drop off. Everyone's heart starts to get drawn into that worship and praise. That's what happens when the atmosphere starts to be charged with the presence of God. Miracles can happen right there without anybody even praying or laying hands on anybody because the presence of God charges the atmosphere. This is what changes people. God is the one who does it. But we do it because we participate in the ministry of a priest. We participate in the ministry of a priest. We have the ministry of a king as well. I'm not going to go into that, but the king is the one that takes it into the world. But here is the ministry that we share being a royal priesthood. Oh my, thank you, Jesus, for your love and your presence. Now, there is a great Bible story, which I'll close on, that is Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, in 2 Chronicles. And some of you know this, but let me get into it because it's just so cool. You know, it even happened before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God still inhabited the praises of the people. He didn't live in their spirit. They were born again, but He inhabited the praises. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, What's happening? The Moabites, the Ammonites, and Menuhites come against Jehoshaphat for battle. And some men came and told Jehoshaphat that a great multitude has come against you from Edom and all the surrounding areas of the sea. And I'm going to sort of skip my way through the verses here. Now listen to this. Jehoshaphat was afraid. That's where he started. He started with fear, but then he set himself in faith. He set his face to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast through Judah, and they assembled to seek God and help from the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and began to pray. And listen to what he prays. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God of heaven and rule over the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are all power and might, that none can withstand you. So he's beginning to speak and confess out loud what God has already declared about himself. There you go, high priest of our confession, but he's declaring what has already been taught and declared about God. Did you not, God, drive out the inhabitants of this land? And he goes on to explain, but you told us not to drive out these guys. And now they're rewarding us by coming up to attack us, basically is the next couple paragraphs. And then he says, Lord our God, will you not execute judgment on them? We are powerless against this great horde that's coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Do you got a problem that you don't know what to do today? Put your eyes on him. Confess what he says and stay there. Okay? Now, here's what goes on. When they're doing this, they're seeking God, the Spirit of the Lord comes on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite. So he's coming on a priest. Okay? And in the midst of the assembly, right in the middle of the bunch, God's Spirit lands on somebody and goes, twing. He stands up and speaks, and he's got the Word of God. He's got the wisdom of God. He's got the mind of God for the moment, how to agree with God. And here's what it says. Listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. You put that over yourself. Don't be afraid at this great problem you've got, health-wise, family-wise, financial-wise. Could be an addiction. Don't be afraid. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. Tomorrow, go down to them. You're gonna encounter them. Go up by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle, but stand firm. Just hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. So go out there and stand. Watch what God does. That was the word. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites and the Kohites, and it goes on to all the ites there. And then they stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They hadn't won yet, but they might as well have won yet because they heard the voice of God. You see, when you got the word of God, there's the declaration of victory. When we got the blood of Jesus, there's the declaration of forgiveness and cleansing. Oh, hallelujah. And then they rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness, and stood, and Jehoshaphat stood still and said, hear me, Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you'll be successful. And he took counsel with the people. This is interesting. It wasn't just his idea. Amongst the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. I think it's a good time for the worship team to go up, don't you? Okay, worship team, you can go. I'm serious. Where are you? Okay. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. Imagine looking down an army that wants to kill you and run you through with these swords. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir had come against Judah. And they were routed, for the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and devoting them to destruction. And when they made an end of the inhabitants of Sierra, they helped to destroy one another. What on earth were they thinking? Who knows? Just God went. Oh, my. You got to get it. See, I love this stuff. The devil is driving these people to try to destroy God's people. God just flicked a switch or something so the devil would decide he's trying to make these people destroy each other. See how easy it is? Wow. And they stood there and watched. They stood there and watched. It's just incredible. And when Judah went to the watchtower, they looked towards the horde. They're getting up in the high height, the watchtower, and behold, dead bodies on the ground. No one escaped. And Jehoshaphat and the people came down to the spoil, and they found them great numbers, goods, clothing, precious things. They must have been figuring they were going to destroy the city and go in and move in themselves. Got all their good stuff with them. And it took them 3 days to take the spoil. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beraka and blessed the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you, let's stand this morning and just declare the goodness. You are a priest of the Lord. You are a priest of the Lord. We have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who bore his own blood from the cross as an offering for our sins and the sins of the world right into that heavenly presence of the Father. Offered it there. Is there anyone here this morning who has never confessed Jesus Christ as their own Savior from sin and agreed with him what he did? Anybody? You can do it this morning if you haven't done it. Is there anybody here? We start there. Because when we confess that, we agree with him what he did, it becomes ours. And he cleanses us and he saves us and he takes out that old heart of stone and puts in a spirit and his new heart of flesh. Down in the deepest being, we have a desire for God. It's percolating all the time. You might battle with things in your mind and in your emotions because, well, that's the old natural man that has to come under the control of God. But down in your deepest being, you start to desire and hunger for him. And then he appoints you as one of his own priests because he's the apostle and high priest of his confession. And you begin to bring in agreement with what he says the things before him that need change. So we're going to have communion in a moment. But I'll tell you what, if you've got something that you know needs change, let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied today with your spiritual life? Are you satisfied today with your Christian life? I don't mean just hungry for more. I mean, are you satisfied? Like this is, and if you're not, you say, I want to be clean. While he provided for it, you begin to pursue him for that cleansing. The blood of Jesus and the body of Christ were given for you to be clean. As you come to the table of the Lord today, or as you come up, the servers will be here in a minute, you say, Lord, I receive your body and blood for cleansing in my life. I want my heart, my mind, my emotions clean, and I believe you paid for it. And if you have a need that you're interceding for of some kind, personal, maybe in your family, maybe there's defilement in your house. I've gone and prayed with people at their houses. Sometimes you can have a house that's defiled. Something bad went on in that house. You bought the house, and it's just yucky. There's demonic stuff there, and you have to come and pray it out. You can pray it out. The blood of you, devil, get out of my house in the name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus over my home. Cleanse my home. You start to apply the blood to whatever you need. It works because he works. He did it. And you begin taking up victory songs and interceding in the Lord, in the will of God, in the word of God. Begin to agree with him and watch the breakthroughs come. The Lord says, stand up. I am with you and will be with you. Stand up, my people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's have those that are serving come up here this morning. What's the song? Oh, yeah, that's a great song. I love that. I'll play bass with you in a minute. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. You put the words up there. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Just sing it out. I feel the anointing as I'm saying that. Yes, Lord. Lift your eyes to heaven. Say it out. Sing it out. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Lord. God dwells in the praises of His people. Freedom reigns in this place. Huh? No, I'm just going to hang on the verses just for a minute. Showers of mercy and grace. Receive it over yourself, mercy and grace. Falling on every face, there is freedom. Hear that coming? Receive it. He's coming by His Spirit. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Are you tired and thirsty? If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Go ahead, Lorraine.